Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Rohde should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Rohde may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody, 10-2 on 670. The
Fat Joe messes up lyrics like Grody. So Mark Grody has a habit of sometimes getting lyrics wrong in songs.
Ripping your pillow tail.
It's one thing when somebody whose job is not a professional recording artist. It's another when it is somebody like Fat Joe, who's a noted producer and recording artist.
Let me tell you something, boy, I miss my Uncle Georgia.
Call him George.
Instead of saying, man, I miss my Uncle Charles, y'all.
Yeah, man, I miss my Uncle Charles, y'all.
Let me tell you something, boy, I miss my Uncle Georgia.
G-Weezy?
No, just Young Jeezy.
No.
And don't you mean G-Easy?
Not the poor asthma-filled rapper.
G-Weezy.
Wow. G-Weezy. Okay.
G-Weezy has a lot of trouble getting through his songs.
Yeah, I got a...
G-Weezy puffing on his inhaler.
I have asthma, and it's okay. I can run around and play all day.
815. That's a low blow. G-Eazy died of complications with asthma.
Jesus.
And then I was like, I don't think that happened. So I'm reading, and then I'm like, I'm not finding this. And then, never mind. That was Eazy-E.
G-Weezy's a rapper we just made up.
Weezy, baby.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I wish I could say that was the most wheels off segment we had of the show. Then transition happened. This is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on 670 The Score. And I just want to ask you, how many times did you watch that 3 minute and 29 second clip of Mike Tirico and Michael Jordan? How many times? The NBA season for everybody who isn't the Rockets, Thunder, Lakers, or Warriors starts today.
That's
that
us.
Includes your Chicago Bulls. That includes any other team you choose to cheer for. But most importantly, it began in earnest yesterday with a celebration when the NBA returned to NBC. We knew this was coming. Yes!
Play yes. That music.
No more Fox Sports. You can't have it on your college basketball games anymore. Why'd you do that to the college game?
It did feel
confused
like sacrilege.
Me like that.
Sacrilege. That's it's what it
over.
Felt like. Yeah.
NBA gets it back. Did you see the lasers too on the Peacock?
Oh, they made sure that they brought it's like if you know and understand as a person over, let's say, the age of 30, you understand at this point in your life that nostalgia has value. And NBC said, watch how we milk this cow of nostalgia. It was beautiful.
When your brand is that strong. And for me, growing up, that was the real sports inspiration. The Mavericks were not a good team. You wanted the NBA on NBC. You wanted inside stuff. You wanted to watch Michael Jordan and the Bulls. I've moved 20 times in my life at least. And I kept my vintage Sports Illustrateds that were gifted to me of the Michael Jordan Bulls covers. Not that I ever thought that I was going to work here, but because that's how much it meant to me. I'm not alone in this. I'm not at the top of the list of passionate fans. I am one of many. And that's why I was riveted to see what happened and what MJ was saying last night to Mike Tirico. So I don't know how exactly we're going to see this play out. That's the other part of this. Once Michael Jordan has spoken, I feel like that opens a lot of floodgates. You're going to want him to talk about more than just how he views the game and what he wants to say. So that said, let's listen to the sit-down, what I guess is a portion of an interview that looked pre-taped because of the production value, at a place that I can only assume belongs to Michael Jordan because of how he talked about it. And this is from NBC.
Jordan has won it. A spectacular one.
Jordan again. It is Michael Jordan time. Yes!
It's amazing. You never really know when you're in the, you know, the prime of your career, how much time you really do not have for family. That's what I have time to do now. I mean, the most valuable asset I have is time.
Right.
So that's probably why you don't see enough of me, because that time I'm trying to spend with family members and things that that I've been missing out on for such a long time.
Do you ever pick up a ball and just shoot?
I haven't picked up a ball in years.
No, come on. Just like walk past. There's got to be a hoop somewhere at your place.
You don't see a hoop anywhere around here, right?
I don't. Seriously, the last time you picked up a basketball and shot it?
I was at the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
And I rented a house from the owner.
Sure.
He came over to do pictures. He had grandkids. And I was meet and greet and thank him for allowing me to stay in the house. And he had a basketball court. He says, I want you to shoot one free throw. I said, really? And I already paid for the house. It's not like he got to see me. So when I stepped up to shoot the free throw, it's the most nervous I've been in years.
Stop it.
In years.
Stop it. Come on.
And reason being is those kids heard the stories from the parents about what I did 30 years ago.
Right.
So the expectation is 30 years prior, and I haven't touched the basketball.
I hope you swished it.
Absolutely. I got the most gratifying of that made my whole week is that I was able to please that kid, not knowing if I could.
So you let us bring a camera or two to your place here to talk to you about basketball. Why do you want to share what you're thinking about basketball now?
It's pay it forward. You know, I have an obligation to the game of basketball, not financially. I'm okay. I mean, I think more or less from as a basketball player is to be able to pass on messages of success and dedication to the game of basketball.
Still love it?
Love it like you wouldn't believe. I mean, in all honesty, I wish I could take a magic pill, put on shorts, and go out and play the game of basketball today. Because that's who I am. That's that type of competition, that type of competitiveness is what I live for. And I miss it. I miss that aspect of playing the game of basketball. Being able to challenge myself against what people see as great basketball. But it's better for me to be sitting here talking to you as opposed to popping my Achilles and I'm in a wheelchair for a while.
But it's nice to be able to share the things that can still make the game great going forward from your perspective.
Yeah, I think one of the things why I did this is as professional athletes, we have an obligation to pay it forward. You know, that's part of what, you know, this is all about is to pass it, pay it forward.
This is Rahimi Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. Our segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Did we all react when he said not financially? He's like, I have an obligation to the game. Not financially.
Not financially.
I think the game probably still owes him based on how the guys are getting paid now. When I talked to Kendall Gill and Will Perdue, when I hosted Bulls pre and post game, they'd always laugh and be like, if only we played now. For the numbers we put up now compared to what we got paid then. But that was funny to me as he sits there in front of the wall of Jordan shoes that are illuminated in that massive room, you know, across from Mike Tirico.
The setup was nice. That was the first thing I noticed about the whole thing. I was like, let me see, where are they doing this? This is at his place, huh? And I was just kind of like watching the camera shift. And then they had like a jib camera, which was swinging around. I was like, oh, they came in here with the production setup. This was a longer conversation. This wasn't a drop by and shoot him for 5 minutes type deal.
Well, that was a big question we all had when the announcement came out. What was this going to be? How did you picture Michael Jordan being a part of this when you knew it was going to be an every week concept? He was going to be a regular contributor. Was he going to be on the set like they would do on TNT? You know, was it going to be some sort of a panel discussion? And no, in fact, it was just him.
I thought, and this is maybe me just being, I don't know if it's pessimistic or pragmatic or both, but I envisioned him...
Pessimatic?
Something like that, because I envisioned, this is what I envisioned, at worst case scenario, it was going to be him, not even with an interviewee like we had Mike Tirico, but just him just talking, like, you know, a producer essays, shows up and just gives like thoughts about stuff from his past, and that's all we were going to get. So this was kind of close to that, because I know what The Last Dance was, and I'm not confusing that with what, you know, a non-controlled produced by Michael Jordan thing looks like. But then I was like, or it could be a situation where he kind of just pops up like for a 2 minute segment every once in a while where he's in a box at his from his home. Never did I imagine him going into a studio. So I think this is probably pretty close to what I envision.
Yeah, I didn't know. But I hope that moving forward, it's not just stories. I hope that it's a lot of that. But I sincerely hope that we get his thoughts on the state of the game. Because I think, number one, he is a part of it, whether or not he wants to admit it. When you are such a massive brand and you've changed the way the masses, not just the NBA, buy shoes, then you are a part of this. You know, whether or not you think you are, you are. You are a part of cultural change and shifts. And therefore, I feel like when you consider all of that, you know, the responsibility and the relationship Nike has with youth basketball, it starts at the very beginning there, and then those players end up playing in the game. So you have touched basketball at every level in a way. So I hope that that's the case. But for now, to hear the humility, to hear him say, I wish I had a magic pill, to hear him say, I was nervous. You know, that's part of it for me is even with The Last Dance, he was still larger than life. He was still separated from your daily life. He was still the person, even during the pandemic, that you tuned into to see what he had to say. And in these moments, you're seeing a different version of him.
I think it's a lot of his fortune for us, but also for Michael Jordan, that The Last Dance dropped when it was. Because let's be honest, when The Last Dance dropped, people who weren't even basketball fans, people who weren't even sports fans, ended up watching The Last Dance because what else are you going to do?
Well, they moved it up, remember?
Yeah.
When that trailer came out, I lost it. I was at the time working for NBC Sports Chicago, and I was part of the Bulls broadcast, and I thought that was going to be the coolest thing ever. And it's one of those moments where you can't believe you're a part of it all. Even in the present year it was in 2019, 2020. And then you see what happened, and The Last Dance became what we all watched. It was like going back to that time of the 90s where you didn't have as many choices for entertainment. You didn't have as many choices as to what you were going to watch. And we all shared in those moments together.
Yeah, I think that's what the collective thing was, is back then, everything that happened, it happened together because there was no distraction of a flip phone, let alone a smartphone or all these screens that we're accustomed to now. And I think my overall takeaway from watching the Jordan thing and the way it kind of even looked like The Last Dance a little bit is that less is still more when it comes to Michael Jordan and a lot of like the most famous, profound people to have walked this planet. Less is more. And he left everybody who watched that last night or who has seen it since on social media wanting more.
We could play it four times today, and I think it wouldn't be enough.
Play it once an hour.
And for those of you who say it is, be proud of yourselves for being like the 2% of Americans who listen intently the first time. You should get a gold star today for something. Treat yourself.
It's a bigger scale of when you live in a city and your big time home run hitter like Kyle Schwarber or Ryan Howard when I was in Philly, right? When they're up to plate, you can't miss that. You can't go to the bathroom. You can't. And when Michael Jordan came on your TV back then, you're like, oh, the game is on. Like, the game is on.
And as much as I think that at times it can be hiding your head in the sand, you know, nostalgia, it can be a good tool for denial. You also need it to remind yourself how you used to feel. To remind yourself of some joy.
That's the word. That is the word. It's so hard to find joy compared to when you were a child or you're evolving into a young adult as it is. Once you're like our age, once you're grown, as I like to call it, joy is not a given. It really isn't, because you got work and you got bills and responsibilities. And Michael Jordan brought a lot of people joy.
And I think that's why a lot of people listen to old music. It's why a lot of people want to watch older TV shows. It's because you want that feeling. And for me, even watching Michael Jordan admit to being afraid of tearing an Achilles, I'm thinking to myself, no, not the man that I thought was unstoppable. Not the man that I thought was larger than life and like ran everything in the world. I thought the center of the sports universe was Chicago. At the time in the 90s, especially with everything that was going on here, like think about Oprah, Jerry Springer, like anything that you consumed media wise, it felt like to me was Chicago. And so to have that moment again, where at least you remember feeling that way, like you remember how you feel. It's like remembering people that you forgot how much you miss them.
The other reason I say that the less is more is like how I walked away from that. It's just a reminder that because Michael Jordan has stayed from out in front of a microphone, his image has not been further sullied in any way. You know, a lot of these athletes get out here and talk and it's divisive one way or another, whether you agree or disagree with what they're saying. But Michael Jordan has stayed above all the realness of the world. And you do have to sometimes pick what your beliefs are, but he stayed above that. The last time I remember him doing anything controversial was when he was playing and he was like, oh, Republicans buy sneakers too. You remember that?
Oh, yes.
And it was like a thing. And he learned from that and he's just like, all right, well, you just get less of me. And he's super famous. He can't go to the store. Like,
do you remember when he spoke at Kobe's funeral?
Yes.
And there were questions about whether or not he was going to speak.
Right. We learned so much just from what he said, right?
Every single time. Every single time. This is Rahimi Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. Mark Grody will join us. He's at Hallis Hall. He'll be in to talk about the latest from Bears. Hallis at 1:25. Lots of Bears. Our producers today, Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, fresh off of his high of interviewing Josh Giddey.
He's still high from that.
We'll address that next. Brandon Fryer also helping out. He's repping Bulls gear today for the opener. Our producers on Twitch. You can join us on the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. We have Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Curtis, and Max Stutz all helping out as well. And you can text and call us. A lot of you already have. 312-644-6767. Coming up next, let's revisit some of what we talked about with Josh Giddey in case you missed it, because there was something that he said that perked your ears, Marshall, and I think we've got to ask the question, what is special going to be? So let's do that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
We're talking to play-by-play man Kevin Harlan. You're the best when it comes to play-by-play of life.
We're sending Marshall Harris to D.C. to run on the field.
Come on, Marshall. Nah. Bring it home, baby. We're ready for you.
The Raheemy Harrison Grody Show, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Williams to Giddy over the midcourt line. Good, he goes. Midcourt. Oh! It's good! It's good! It's good! Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win! Josh Giddy from midcourt. Logo, Josh Giddy. I love you.
You know who that is. That's Chuck Swirsky. You can hear Chuck tonight on The Score, by the way. Bulls basketball is coming to you beginning this evening. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Been ready.
I feel like we've got to do a team Are You Ready check. The Bulls regular season begins tonight at the United Center. Spiegel and Holmes live from 2 to 6 at the UC. They will be joined by Arturis Karnišovas. That's at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Horace Grant is at 5:25. Then Chuck Swirsky and Bill Weddington bring you the action of Bulls and Pistons. Pregame is at 6:45. Tip-off is at 7. On The Score and the Fitzgerald Equipment Bulls Radio Network, powered by Heli Forklifts. So we got to interview Josh Giddy yesterday. It was a wonderful moment for the show. I feel like Robbie was the inspiration for us to even request Josh Giddy. So Robbie, thank you. I hope you enjoyed talking to your favorite Hooper.
Yeah, my goat. Yeah, of course.
I mean, saying what's up, King, was letting it all out there. You made it known. Additionally, Josh Giddy had a lot to say. I feel like we got a lot out of him when it came to what he wanted to see, what his thoughts were on his relationship with the Bulls off of the extension. And here's what he had to say after Marshall asked him a question about what the Bulls can accomplish in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, the East is pretty wide open with, you know, teams dealing with different things. And you don't want to really put a cap on a team going into a season because I think, and as I said earlier, we've got a lot of confidence in the guys that we have in this locker room. And we think, I think the world of this group, and I think we can do special things. And, I don't want to make a prediction or say we can be this team or, you know, then you got those expectations, you don't live up to it. But I really do believe in this group. And I think everyone wants to win championships and everyone wants to be playoff teams, and we're no different. But it's about taking the right steps and not skipping steps to get to that point. So long season ahead, 82 games. And if we do the right things and play the way we need to play, I think when we look back on this, we're going to be pretty happy with where we end up.
I hear him say this, and I understand he doesn't want to put a number on it. He doesn't want to put a seed on it. But, and he's only been here 1 year, and it was the best year of his professional career.
It was.
So he doesn't know about the fact, I mean, he knows about the fact, but he hasn't felt the loss of 3 straight playing games.
Like we have.
To the same team every time. You get what I'm saying? And so I understand why he's so enthusiastic. Man just got paid.
He has hope.
He has hope.
He has hope and he has money.
Listen,
and youth. And hair. It's a dangerous combination.
Revolutions are built on hope is what I was told. And this would be a revolution for this team to jump up and assert itself into a top 6 team in the East. It would be a revolution. You know why? Are they better than the Cleveland Cavaliers? That was the 1 seed last year.
No, yeah. I knew when you asked that. Cleveland, no. In fact, Cleveland scored 130 points against them plus, 120 points against them plus. Like, the history of the matchups last season wasn't great.
Are they better than the Celtics?
No.
The Knicks?
No.
All right, so that's 3 teams off the top. Now, here's where it gets interesting.
Yes?
Are they better than the Pacers minus Miles Turner and minus Tyrese Halliburton?
Yeah, that's the who are the Pacers minus those two? That's a big question we're going to have to ask.
So they're in limbo. They're a question mark. Are they better than the Bucks that lost, obviously? Oh, no, we're just saying no.
No.
No. Giannis.
Now, they did play the Bucks better last year.
Yes, they did play the Bucks better. Are they better than the Magic that traded for Desmond Bane?
That's a good question.
That's got the Wagner brothers.
Big.
And of course, Paolo Banchero. Are they better?
So who's always giving the Bulls trouble?
Are they better than the Hawks team that acquired Kristaps Porzingis?
The Hawks are a big question mark. So I think they could be better than the Hawks.
Are they better than the Detroit Pistons? We'll find out tonight.
We'll find out at least one game tonight.
I know who's running that audio over there talking about no.
Well, I mean, the Pistons finished what? In the regular season, 1, 2, 3, 4, they were the sixth seed, so.
But I don't know if they're better than the Sixers because I can't tell you who's playing for the Sixers.
Well, and the Sixers did the tank. Like, the Sixers executed the full tank.
They leaned hard.
They did it. Like, they got exactly what they wanted. They got the draft pick that they could get. They got the best odds possible to have the best possible outcome given their season.
VJ Edgecombe.
They pulled half their team with 2 weeks to go. I don't even know who was playing in the lineups the last couple games. Yeah, the Sixers did the thing. They went all out.
I say all that, Layla, to say this. There are four teams that we just named that are definitively better than the Bulls right now that we look at and we're like, well, the Bulls aren't, they're just not better. Their rosters are not better. But there's a lot of question marks in there. And I think the Bulls have a chance here because they have a group of players that are coming back and you say, well, they didn't add enough. Well, but they actually showed you at the end of the season what they could be.
We're also still trying to figure out, I've lived so much of my NBA life knowing that a team might get better based on what happens at the trade deadline. And because of the new CBA and the apron concepts that are now going to dominate conversations like this, that you might be looking at your team at the trade deadline minus a couple of details. You know, and famously, the Bulls are not a very active team under Arturas Karnišovas at the trade deadline. Vooch was the biggest trade they had at the deadline as a whole, you know, in the time that he's been the GM. And the president and Mark Eversley. So trying to piece that together too, it becomes more dependent on who's coming back when. Like, I still said the Celtics because there are reports, and I say this very, very purposefully, reports that Tatum could come back from his Achilles in February. So if that's enough time, you know, that's a swing for them that takes them to perhaps the top seed in the East. Halliburton, we know, hurt his Achilles during the finals. That means that the timeline is a lot longer. You know, you have to take those things into consideration. The Knicks have a new coach, for example.
I think the biggest thing here, when I look at these Bulls team, we talk about them doing something special. We saw a glimpse of special at the end of the season when they won 15 of the last 20 games in the regular season. I know what followed was very disappointing and alarming and really just kind of cold to the chest when you saw what the Heat did, not just beating them in the playing game, but whooping their tails up and down the court, mollywhopping out back. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes.
My dad used to take off his belt, and I was like, yeah, I know, I shouldn't have done that. And now I will pay the price. That's what it felt like. Yeah.
That play-in game left such a bad taste in our mouths. Like, that was the other part of it, was they just got absolutely waxed. And then you saw what happened when Miami advanced, and they got waxed. And then you're asking yourselves, well, what's the gap here?
Degrees of separation.
What's the gap between the good teams in the playoffs and what the Bulls are?
At best, you can chalk it up to a bad night. At worst, you could say they're so, so far away. But because Josh Giddey averaged nearly a triple-double after the All-Star break, because Matis Buzelis is that guy that you're really looking hard at, and he's got a runway with Coby White being out, and that's part of the problem, is Coby White's out really indefinitely because he's going to be reevaluated. He's not coming back in 2 weeks. He's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks.
Well, that's part of it. And we're talking about a play-in Bulls team that had the Eastern Conference Player of the Month in March in Coby White. So that's not this discussion. Because, again, injuries do have a major factor in how we feel like this team is going to get.
The thing that I lean into and why I say a top six seed is available to the Bulls this season, and I really mean that and believe that, and I will put my money, not proverbially speaking, but my literal money where my mouth is on this, is because I know one thing about Billy Donovan. He can coach. I know another thing about Billy Donovan. The players that play for him play really, really hard, and in the NBA, everybody doesn't play hard every night.
No, Rasheed Wallace was wrong. Both teams do not play hard sometimes.
Back then, in his day, they did play hard,
Layla.
When
he said it, there's a reason they did play hard. Yeah. I don't question Rasheed Wallace, but you can't say that every week.
He said it because he did not want to get that fine, because that fine was coming if he criticized the officials on that given night. But seriously, as we talk about the Bulls here on Raheemy Harris and Grody, Mark Grody coming up later in the show from Hallis Hall, I just want people to understand that the Bulls are disappointing to me from a front office standpoint, but from an on-the-court standpoint, they can be exciting. I think several things could have this Bulls team in position. One of them is Trey Jones, who we really don't talk about because he missed the back end of last season, but I think he's a functional, more than a serviceable point guard and knows what Billy Donovan's trying to do. And I think they can still play with pace, and they can win some of these games against teams that are also trying to figure things out without injured players.
Well, and Io's back, and I think that's going to make a big difference defensively, and they're going to need him. Because unfortunately, you know, when we've talked about this, you know who Vooch is. Like, there, once again, I accept who Nikola Vucevic is. You know, he's an offensive first center. You're going to try to run as much as you can in the post. He's an offensive minded five. So then, whose responsibility is the defense? You know, and Isaac Okoro has to play into that, but also there are injury concerns there. So that's a part of this too. Is there's a lot of we're still trying to figure out who everybody is, you know, as far as how this is put together as a whole. So that's why it's hard for me to say, what are the special things going to be? We saw special things in March and in April, but that's not who I think this team is going to be.
I think this is a team that has two players, Kobe when he's healthy and Ayo Dosunmu when he, from day one, a.k.a. tonight, they are in contract years. They are trying to get the biggest bag they can. And I think Billy Donovan's system will allow them to get the biggest bag they can if they're healthy.
I think that the question is, you know, what are the special things going to be? And how are... I know that we used to make the jokes last season before it began. We were like, oh, so they're going to have to win like 140, 135 every night. You know, like... I don't think that's going to be... I feel like a lot of who they picked up, like Okoro, for example, is going to help out defensively. Io, of course, plays great defense. The rotations are going to look different. But as far as special things are concerned, that's where I'm still trying to figure out how this is put together.
Do you expect Vooch to be on this team at the trade after the trade deadline?
The biggest question is whether or not the Bulls can move him for what they want. Zach LaVine took too long, in my opinion, to move.
Yeah, that there's no doubt.
Like the fact that we were talking about that for a year and a half, with his agent being Rich Paul, and I know that GMs are the ones who trade people, front offices trade people, but you don't get Rich Paul for no reason. And I think maybe there'd be some sort of a relationship building that might have helped expedite that situation, and it didn't happen.
I think for him, he obviously wants to go to a contender, and I think the Bulls are going to probably do him a solid and move him to a contender for certainly less than they would like, because nobody's paying that price for 35-year-old Nikola Vucevic. You're not getting a first-rounder back for Nikola Vucevic. You're just not.
Well, and that's the issue, is I feel like Zach LaVine was their best chance to get a first-rounder back, and that didn't happen.
Yeah, not only did it not happen, it was really never close to happening. And when you had a chance to get a first-round pick, and you know, for Alex Caruso, you opted for Giddey instead. I'm like, why can't we have both?
I know. That was the
They've
question.
They've got so many picks.
Well, especially when the Thunder valued what Caruso specifically did for their team so much. That was a big part of this. Also, recent reports, the most recent reports, and this is overnight, that Isaac Okoro will play. He's been cleared to play in the season opener tonight. He'd been dealing with knee soreness, so that's a good sign as well.
And I think Io was hurt too, or hurting, and he's going to play tonight as well. So we're full going, unless your name is Zach Collins
or Kobe White,
which those are two very important parts of this team.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's what I'm going to see tonight. I don't need to see special things overall just yet. I do need to see more defense tonight.
I would like to see
more than
we saw the last
time. I'm
going to
be your old gristled basketball coach and say more defense.
The last time we were there for a season opener, maybe better than that?
You mean the time where you and I had like a brief chat and 2 minutes later the Thunder were up 19?
Yeah.
And you go, wait a second, what happened? And we're like, wait. The good news is that was a team that ended up winning the title.
Is that the good news?
Yes.
I guess, yeah, I guess. They certainly think they won the Alex Caruso-Josh Giddey trade. I know that because they got what they needed.
The game last night was also just as impressive as everything else that took place.
Double overtime.
And Kevin Durant facing his fifth team, as Ray pointed out. Yeah, there was word on the NBA street that Durant always wanted to play for Houston, and he finally made it happen.
It's not too far from Austin, right, where he played his college ball?
Yeah, and it only was 1 year, but he still has a great affinity toward Austin.
Rick Barnes.
Thunder end up winning that game 125-124 in double OT. That's how you begin it. That's how you start it. And Marshall's Warriors beat the Lakers 119-109. Nobody's surprised there. LeBron didn't play. So
Luka did. He dropped 43.
Luka also looked like he was a little hurt in that game. Yeah.
He said he's going to be fine. Say just a little something with his hip not feeling quite right.
What I did not expect was Jimmy Butler to lead the scoring for the Warriors with 31.
You didn't expect him to make 16 of 16 from the line?
All of those things. Jimmy Butler and Steve Kerr may be the combination that everybody needed there. At least for now.
We'll see.
Somewhere out there, Tibbs is laughing. Somewhere. We have more to come here on Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. A little bit more basketball before we get into football. What does a successful season look like for this Bulls team? We talked about what could be special. So at the end of the day, how does this break down when it comes to what success would be? We're going to hear more. In fact, Modest Buzelis spoke at Team Media Day, so we'll hear from him and discuss next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Raheem Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Nice. Taken away by Buzelis on the runway with a windmill right-handed slam. Mattis Buzelis eating some iron here in Chicago. Buzelis to the rack and he throws it down again with a two-handed slam dunk. Got it. Count it. Foul. Buzelis is in the kitchen and he is smoking.
Buzelis.
Whoa. Look out below.
Watch your head, Boozy Vert.
Boozy Vert might be my favorite out of the gate. The Stacey King nicknames. We're back. We're back, baby. The better question now is, do they play Fiend after halftime? Like, that's where I want to go with this, too. Robbie's just rocking out to little Uzi Vert over there. This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And we've got football coming up at 11 with Mike Florio. But we want to ask the question, what would a successful season look like for the Bulls? And that's what we were trying to figure out. Is it you get something in return? Like I said, somehow, some way, get a first round pick. Somehow. That isn't your own.
That's a successful season, getting a first round pick. Acquiring a first round pick. Is that simple?
Simple versus easy. I need you to marinate on that. It's a simple concept, but is it easy?
No, it's definitely not easy with this group. No.
It's not easy in the NBA. We've seen first rounders become gold.
They could have gotten a first rounder on draft night, and you would have been like, yes, this is the way.
I have every understanding as to why we are going to keep looking at the deal that didn't happen with New Orleans. So is that it? Is it making the playoffs? Is it doing a full tank to get a better first round pick?
We're not tanking. I've accepted the Bulls are not tanking. So
the Bulls aren't pulling a Sixers?
No, they do not know how. They cannot do that with Billy Donovan as their head coach.
No, they aren't wired that way.
It can't be done. And so when you ask what does a successful season look like, yes, I agree. If you can get a first-round pick, by all means.
I don't know how. This is a really lofty goal, actually, when you think about it. Because I don't think Vooch alone gets you a first-rounder.
I think my goals are a little bit more realistic. How about that?
How dare you? I'm like, somehow. Wow. Like, our tourists could be like, yeah, we went on a 15-game losing streak, but we got a first-round pick that isn't ours. And I'd be like, yes!
And you'd have to say, that is what I asked
then I'd
for.
Then I start singing the round ball rock song.
Do you really want to go through the 15 straight losses, though?
I don't. I mean, we'll do it together. We'll have each other.
We? It's like Uncle Phil on Fresh Prince. We?
Our eye will be on the prize.
Man, listen.
We've done this before. We did it 10 years ago with the Sixers.
Oh, my goodness. I was just... you brought back a bad memory. Someone sent me a clip of me doing Sixers pregame live where I was like, yeah, tonight the Sixers try to avoid their 18th straight loss. And I was just like, wait, did I do that? Was that part of my life? I guess it was.
That's when you need our don't we have the recorder round ball rock somewhere? Like that's when we have recorder bear down to, and people have asked if we're going to play it or not. And I don't think we can play it because the Bears aren't bad right now. Tonight, the Sixers try to lose their 18th straight game to secure the tank.
Wow. I did not know that existed. I did not know
should
I needed
it. It should not exist.
That,
I believe that's Jay Zawoski's wife, Hope, playing the recorder.
That is
it not?
Amazing.
Ray?
I think it was a friend.
Greg Overtone did the Bear Down one.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's Hope's recorder.
Okay.
I will delve deep into this story.
All right.
Can I point your way to some to some smart odds? You know, we did this yesterday when I said, you know, plus 1,800, you might want to jump on Ben Johnson for Coach of the Year in the NFL.
It's still a really good call. That's the FanDuel odds, and, you know, FanDuel is our partner here at the Score. That's
okay.
A hint.
Let me give you another smart money bet. First of all, I'll tell you this. Do you know who's at the top for most improved player odds? And he played last night. That's my hint I'll give you. So he's either on the Thunder,
Jimmy Butler,
the Rockets, stop, the Lakers, or the Warriors. Most improved player at the top at plus 700 odds is Amen Thompson.
Oh, yeah, I think he will because of the opportunities he's going to get on the Rockets with minutes right now.
And he plays with KD, so that more shine for him. Number two on that list is Robbie Triano's guy.
I thought you were going to say Robbie Triano for a second.
No, it's his guy. Josh Giddey is actually number two on the odds, plus 1,200. Do not make that bet. Let me just tell you. Do not. It's a bad bet.
His numbers are only going to go up.
No. Robbie?
Even you asked yesterday if you thought he could average a triple-double based on Kobe being injured.
I don't think him averaging a triple-double will have him as the most improved player of the year, though. He'd have to average a triple-double and probably score 20-something points a game.
I just worry that even with most improved, they tend to give it to somebody on a playoff team.
Yeah, usually the team standing has a chance, so the Bulls will probably have to make the playoffs. But let me take you down a little deeper on this list. At plus 1,600, and this is where you should put your money, is one Modest Buzelis.
Elaborate.
Modest Buzelis is going to have a runway without Kobe White in the lineup to be the second leading scorer probably on this Bulls team. Give or take Vooch any given night, playing like he's less than 35 years old. He's going to get probably the second most shots per night, and sometimes maybe even the most, with Kobe White being out. This is his opportunity to step up. And
Is he enough of a shot creator to get the second most shots?
Did you see what he did to Luka Doncic on the baseline last year? Where he just literally ran a circle around him and went in for the dunk.
That's high percentage, though.
Yes.
You're going to have to take shots from everywhere to get the second most on a team.
I think he can do that. I think he can also get fat off of layups and dunks as well, with Josh playing alongside Josh Giddey and the spacers with like Kevin Huerter. There's guys who can make threes on this team now. We couldn't say that at the beginning of last season. So now I think he's going to have every opportunity to take off. And so put the money on Bouzelas. And what a successful season looks like to me is him doing his thing where he says what he says about winning an award. And that's most improved player of the year.
Yeah, I think he has every right to set his sights on it. And given already what we've seen in the preseason, I think the more goals he sets for himself, the better. And I don't care what they are. Make them as lofty as you possibly can, because when you're that young and you've shown that much improvement already, who's going to tell you no?
He's not jaded like us. He still understands how to get joy on an everyday basis.
Hope and time. MJ, I'm going to need another interview in like 10 minutes.
Or just listen to the one he put out there. Like, I've already listened to it twice. Yes.
Where's the magic pill? Where's the one that makes him play better?
We're all looking for that magic pill.
Time is undefeated. That said, coming up next, we're going to talk to Mike Florio. This is perhaps one of the more dysfunctional weeks in the NFL that I can remember, and we've had a lot of dysfunctional weeks. So let's talk about it with him next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.